Okay, so my name is Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's 11:15 on the 5th of October, 2009. Can you please tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
My name is Ned Pamphilon. That's the girl's name, Pam. The boy's name, Phil. They get it on. Bang a gong, that's a T-Rex song. I was born in 1963, which was the same year that JF Kennedy was assassinated, and if you take out his middle part, you get a Ned. And I'm from, born in London, but lived in East Anglia since 1967. But the last, over 10 years, I lived in Istanbul in Turkey, and I've recently moved back to East Anglia, well, last year, which was 2008. I put my name in the hat for this project because Nilay, a Turkish colleague of mine, wrote me an email and said, "Ned, why don't you?" And I went, "Ugh." But it was the application was so simple. Literally, you put your name into the hat, and then I forgot about it. And of course, my name came out. So I had the choice: do I do it or do I not do it? So I decided to do it, and I thought this would be an excellent opportunity to again promote primarily the Rainbow Bridge Project. The Rainbow Bridge Project, and I'm now just showing a picture here, although this is only audio, so that you know what I'm talking about, is to paint seven colours of the rainbow upon the seven grey concrete panels of the Bosphorus Bridge, which is a kilometre long and spans from Asian Istanbul to European Istanbul. I've been working on this project since 1999. I first had the project referenced in a Turkish newspaper. I acquired a sponsor, BASF, the biggest chemical company in the world, apparently, to supply all the paint and the necessary consultation. Unfortunately, and I had meetings with the interior minister and various other ministers in Turkey, who told me to my face that this was a great project, consider it a done deal. But somewhere down the line, the project was rejected in 2004. I was told it was rejected because, one, it was a gay San Francisco image, because apparently there's a gay six-colour rainbow flag. Secondly, because why was a foreign company, in other words BASF, painting the Turkish bridge? Well, they were merely supplying the paint, and the same Turks that paint it grey today could paint it with the seven colours of the rainbow. And number three, they didn't want to create a terrorist target. I suspect there were other reasons, and these were really just convenient excuses to give me. Seven colours in the rainbow. Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, which is in eastern Turkey. There are seven bordering countries to Turkey. There are seven regions to Turkey. There are seven letters in the Turkish word Türkiye. Atatürk, who founded the Turkish Republic in 1923, well, there are seven letters in Atatürk. There are seven letters in the current Prime Minister, Erdogan. So today I'm going to go up onto the plinth and I'm going to read out a letter in Turkish to Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan, asking him to reconsider this project, which I think will do much for Turkey's international relations. I think it will bring money into the economy for them, and I think it will positively highlight the country all around the world. Basically, if they paint seven colours of the rainbow under this bridge, it will appear in every newspaper, media, publication and broadcasting outlet throughout the world at no cost to the Turkish taxpayer. I have a reputation for painting Atatürk in Turkey, including Atatürk's Eyes, which is a 3-metre long painting in Esenbahar Airport in Ankara in Turkey. And today I've brought along with me Thomas Paine's Eyes. Thomas Paine was an 18th century best-selling author and recently quoted by Barack Obama at the US inauguration. I don't have Atatürk's Eyes with me, so I'm going to hold up Thomas Paine's Eyes. I've also brought with me a rainbow-coloured pony. I tried to get a life-size plastic horse, but I could only secure a smaller fiberglass pony. The reason I bought the horse is because the plinth was designed by Charles Barry in 1841, originally for an equestrian statue, but they ran out of money. So nothing's changed there. So I've decided that this is an opportunity to put an equestrian statue on the plinth. Also, I'm in East Anglia. I'm hoping to go and paint at Newmarket soon. I have to access the richer and wealthier clients of East Anglia because I do a lot of community works in schools, and it tends to cost me more money than I make, so I need to do some serious money generation. So I'm going to hopefully go and paint at Newmarket. So again, I'm promoting Newmarket, promoting East Anglia. Oh, and of course, today's thoroughbred English racing horse has been invented from the Ottoman Turkish horses that were imported in 1650 to 1750. I'm also taking up with me a painting of Marilyn Monroe and Albert Einstein. It's called Marilyn Stein or Albert Monroe, and it's an optical illusion painting. If you look at it closely, it looks like Albert Einstein. From the plinth, though, when you look at it on the TV screens, it'll look like Marilyn Monroe. It's just for a bit of fun. It also symbolises the beauty and the intelligence of the Rainbow Bridge project. So the pony, the eyes of Thomas Paine, the optical illusion painting, and also I'll take a guitar up with me, and if I've got 10 minutes there, and you know, if I feel in the mood, I'll sing a song about Istanbul for the Turks. Or I'm also taking up a Turkish flag, a massive Turkish flag, which I'm going to unfold and wave around, which should attract the attention of the Turkish media, which again will put attention onto the Rainbow Bridge project, I hope. And also I have a song about St. Edmund, which I wrote with children at the St. Edmund's primary school in Bury St. Edmund's. St. Edmund, there's a campaign in Suffolk to make Edmund the patron saint of England, because allegedly St. George wasn't even English. I don't really care. All I'm bothered about is promoting my area, promoting the people and the community in which I live. And especially nowadays, we need to generate as much business and income for people, and art can do this, and the power of the image can do this, and Rainbow Bridge can do that for Turkey. And I think I've rattled on endlessly for at least 10 minutes now.
how did you find yourself in Turkey? Can you tell me the story?
I first went to Turkey in 1988. I was singing with a rock band, and we were playing American military bases throughout Europe, and the final country was Turkey, and we were four guys in a van, in a four transit van. By the time we got to Turkey, I think we'd had enough. And I had a very negative experience in Turkey. I think it was more to do with our personal situation and the band situation rather than Turkey. And I think Turkey got the brunt end. I think Turkey got the blame. And I left Turkey thinking I will never come back to this third world hellhole. Well, that was 1988. And in the early 90s, my very close friend Sebastian, who's a German guy, and of course all Englishmen should have a best friend who's German. He was sent to Istanbul. He phoned me up, he knew what I thought of Turkey. And he said, "Ned, I've been posted to your favorite country, Turkey." Well, of course I had to go and visit him. Well, this was about 93, 94, and he had a wonderful apartment on the Bosphorus. And he's water mad and boat mad, and he had a little boat. And as soon as I went onto the Bosphorus on a boat, I just completely changed my mind about Turkey. I thought the Bosphorus was the most incredible waterway I've ever been. I mean, literally, you sit there, that side's Asia, that side's Europe. And you've got oil tankers going up and down there. I've swum in the Bosphorus. I've even flown under the Bosphorus Bridge in an aeroplane, which I probably shouldn't be telling you about because it's, it was a long time ago. And I went up, I'd never flown a plane before, and I was in the pub the night before watching Arsenal lose to Manchester United. So I was a bit depressed, and the guy I was sitting next to said was a pilot, and I said, "Oh, I've never flown before." He said, "Well, would you like to fly?" Thinking that he was pulling my leg, and well, the next morning I met him and we went up. Of course, he was running the controls as you do in a learning car, but we were flying over Istanbul, and he said, "Do you want to fly under the bridge?" And I went. Now I'm making a gap between my thumb and my forefinger, and I judge the scale of the distance between the underneath of the bridge and the water, and then how big our plane was. And I thought, well, there's plenty of room there. I said, let's go for it. So I have flown under the Bosphorus Bridge. And this was before I'd come up with an idea to paint underneath it. And of course, it was with Sebastian, that the friend, we were sitting under the boat one day, and he said, "Oh, wouldn't it be fun if someone painted the bridge?" and it was just literally a throwaway remark over a few beers, and I thought, well, yeah, that would be a good idea, but what can you paint? Because it's got to be practical. And there were 7 grey panels there, and of course, you know, you don't have to actually paint anything figurative. So long as you're putting colour under there, you can call it the longest painting in the world spanning 2 continents. So, yeah, I'm hoping that Sabah newspaper, which is a major newspaper in Istanbul, their London correspondent phoned me this evening, and I told her all about the Rainbow Bridge project again. Avrupa, which is in a Turkish paper, but broadsheet based in England and the British Isles, they've also run an article on all of this. So touch wood, you know, and I think if I'm waving the flag and I send a message to Tayyip Erdogan and the president and the Turkish people, and I'm wearing Ataturk's, this is a painting of mine I got on my chest, it's Ataturk's eyes, with peace at home, peace in the world, which is the national slogan of Turkey. So you never know, the Angel of the North just might help implement the Rainbow Bridge project, and that would be a lovely thing, and I think even Anthony Gormley would think that would be a lovely thing. So anything that you guys at the Wellcome Trust, is it?
Artichoke producers, Wellcome Trust are documenting.
Well, I mean, anyone who can do anything to help me promote this further presentation of the Rainbow Bridge project and the work I've been doing, that would be wonderful, and I would I'll do anything that is a, you know, positively collaborates and in a constructive way forward.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us a bit about then painting, how you got into the world of painting, what that's like?
Well, as an artist?
Yeah.
Well, I was singing. It never really occurred to me that I would ever sell. I mean, at school I was told to study architecture because I was told that we have a new Prime Minister called Margaret Thatcher. There'll be no money for the arts, and I was recommended to do something more academic instead, so that's why I studied architecture. After architecture, that was enough of that. I was in the West End living in London, and there was a DJ job going in the Maritz Club in Wardour Street, and I said, whoa, I've got some records. Then I became a DJ at the Marquee Club, which probably you guys don't remember anymore, but that was going for a long time in the West End. Then I joined a band as a rhythm guitarist, and other members of the band left, and suddenly I became the singer, and that was really easy because you didn't have to carry around amps and guitars and stuff. And so and then the band folded eventually, and I was doing a songwriter's gig at Ronnie Scott's club in which is another jazz club in Soho. I lost my confidence one evening. I was performing a 3-song songwriter's performance, and I mean, nobody would have realized it, but I lost my confidence inside, and I went home and was terribly depressed, and drank an awful lot of alcohol, sat up all night with a friend of mine, Sarsfield, and said, Sarsfield, I think I'm going to do something different after years in the music business, or whatever you want to call it. I said, well, what can I do? I can draw. I've always drawn. So I said, okay, I'll be a painter. A friend of mine phoned up the next week or so, and he was working on the French and Saunders show. He was doing a chippy, or making the scenery. And he said, Ned, they're throwing out all these huge canvases that they use as a backdrops. They're going in the skip, or do you want them? So I took those, started painting, tried to get a gig in a gallery, because I had no CV, so I couldn't get a gig. So I hired Lauderdale House in Highgate, and put on my own art exhibition. I sold enough to make a profit, and then I, 1996, I set off for Kuala Lumpur, because I decided that I should go abroad, and I went to Kuala Lumpur for 6 months. basically blagged myself an I made up references. I said that Time Out said I was wonderful when Time Out had never even heard of me, and things like that. Blagged an exhibition in the Hilton Hotel, had a sellout, sold over 50 paintings. Then came back to England with cash in my pocket, and Sebastian called and said, well, why don't you come to Turkey? And now I paint pictures, and I paint reasonably commercial stuff of wherever I am, portraits, landscapes, etc., etc. And the Rainbow Bridge project was something that has consumed my life and become at times a rather unhealthy obsession, because I spent all my money and all my energy on it, and I got very frustrated because, you know, other people didn't get it and wouldn't give permission for the project. It was a wonderful project. My plan was that once we implemented Rainbow Bridge, I'd like to get Paul McCartney to sing his Best Mate song, All We Are Saying Is Give Peace a Chance. I'd like to invite Brian Sewell, my favourite art critic and now a good friend, Charles Saatchi, Rolf Harris, and David Hockney, who I like David Hockney's Secret Knowledge program. So to get these people over to Turkey and have some kind of seminar with those people. I'd like to invite Arsene Wenger over to Istanbul, who I adore. I mean, I've always been an Arsenal supporter, but Arsene Wenger is superb. I'm mentioning all these people in the speech tonight to the Turkish Prime Minister. And what else? I've probably said enough, haven't I?
Not at all. I don't know, maybe you've mentioned it already. What would you say that then at this point in your life are the most important things to you?
Well, at this moment in life, the most important thing to me is the fact that my mother and father are still alive. And I've been abroad for well over 10 years. And it was important to come home and spend more time with them. At the moment, I'm still trying to secure a new... in Istanbul, I had a fantastic studio, slap bang in the middle of Istanbul. And now I don't have a much space, so I need to secure a new studio. So I've been painting in public since I've been home. I've been painting in churches, shopping centres, schools, because... Yeah, so everything I've painted since I've been back in England has all been in public. So it would be nice to paint in private again. What else is important to me? Truth. I'm so fed up with... These things are a bit controversial, I suppose. When I was in Istanbul on the day before 9/11, we had a suicide bomber in Taksim Square that shook my windows. And then the following day we had 9/11, and the buildings were blown up as far as I'm concerned, and I can't understand why no one questions it. And now here we are with all this Afghan stuff going on and the Iraq stuff going on, and I find that very difficult to, not mention, when it's not good for business mentioning these kind of things. So the Rainbow Bridge project and peace at home, peace in the world, and that whole message is very important to me, to generate a higher vibration rather than a low vibration, and to what else is important to me? I try to not get too political because I've got a big mouth and it all comes pouring out and then I don't get any commissions. What else is important? This evening's important. This evening is going up there, speaking Turkish as best I can, delivering the message as clearly as I can, and taking another little step towards the implementation of the Rainbow Bridge project. And I think that if Anthony Gormley's idea of this using this plinth can help that in any way, I mean, that would be absolutely wonderful. And I must say, this evening I've turned up and everyone's been incredibly friendly and hospitable here. And I feel very relaxed about going up there.
And is there anything else you'd like to say about the project itself, your thoughts on the concept of one another or being representative to one of 2,400 people?
Well, I should imagine Brian Sewell will probably think it's nonsense and conceptual. It's, you know, because it's conceptual art. For me personally, it appears to be a positive ingredient in my life, because it means I can go up there and talk about a project that's dear to my heart. It's a lovely evening. There's no wind, no rain, at least touch wood, there isn't so far. I came here a couple of weeks ago on a Friday just to check out how you come on and off the plinth. And there was a girl went up there dressed up in artificial leaves and tissue or something. And I went away to have a coffee and came back again to see, to see the changeover. And by this time, she'd started taking these things off, and she was stood there, and I realized that she was basically naked, apart from this little G-string and a little bit of V knickers in the front part. And she was painted in red, but was basically up there starkers. And she was incredibly comfortable up there. There was a very nice atmosphere. All the cars and the buses and whatever were honking their horns. Is it art? Does it matter? I think people were having fun, and I think that's very important in this day and age to generate, a positive feeling of some description. And certainly coming here this evening, the atmosphere in the office is a very productive and positive one. So I can only say that, the Lord Mayor of London and Boris Johnson and Anthony Gormley and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, why not? It's an empty plinth doing nothing. So why not do something with it? And we can, I mean, you can discuss what is art and what is not art until the cows come home. But you have a choice in life. You either do it or you don't. And I'm here and I'm going to do it.
And how are you feeling 25 minutes before you go up?
Perfectly comfortable. I was nervous beforehand because of our external factors like weather, and I mean, it would have been nice to go up there and paint something, and I decided not to do that just because, what if I'm quite happy with what I'm going to do. I'm going to have my pony up there. I'm going to have Thomas Paine's eyes. The eyes were painted in public in Diss Park Pavilion, and the trustees of the Diss Museum are so far rejecting having the eyes on the side of their museum, and I'd like them to reconsider that. And also to have the Albert Einstein Marilyn Monroe painting up there, which has been with me. I painted it in Turkey, and it's been to all my exhibitions with me, so that would be fun having that up there. And that's it, I feel. Looking forward to it. Cool.
Thank you very much.
You're absolutely welcome. Bir şey değil. You're welcome in Turkish.